All right, what's going on? We're in LA. 49ers Rams tomorrow. This is the prediction show. This is going to go through everything up until the predicted final score. It's a hell of a day here that included $19 smoothies and really good sandwiches. They've got this place that's like Whole Foods, except probably 50% more expensive. It's called Erewhon Market, and it was probably the most LA thing that I'd ever done, but they had a good prosciutto sandwich, so we'll let it slide. I think like some of the food that you'll see pictured here, including the smash burger, everything combined, including these two $19 smoothies, I think that this ran us like 70 bucks. It was wild. But it was a good preview for 49ers Rams tomorrow. And if you're coming into LA and you're driving through some of the palm trees, make sure you don't hit people in the middle of the street trying to take selfies. This was ridiculous. There was like five groups of people in the middle of the street here in LA. I mean, it was the most stereotypical thing I ever saw. And of course, we checked out Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills, followed by the Getty Center, which is always a nice thing to do up here. That's Venice in the Getty Center. Up there on the hills. Look, and this statue right here, it's called Horse. Very simple name, but aptly named. Getty Center gives you a nice little view of LA. SoFi Stadium, going to be off to the right of that shot. Probably a little too smoggy to see exactly where it is. But we had $19 smoothies as we moved to the 49ers Rams prediction. Thought Whole Foods was the whole paycheck. You thought Whole Foods was crazy. Just go to Erewhon. It's going to take it to another level, but it wasn't bad. It was expensive, but it wasn't bad. So Niners Rams, by the way, my tenure with the San Francisco Standard has begun. There's my first solo article for the Standard. You've got to look at Talanoa Hufanga. I like the headline that my new editors picked. As injuries mount, the 49ers have at least one star returning. So got to delve into this nice long piece on Talanoa. It's available at the link in the description. Mike was able to stick that link in there. 49ers, the story of this game entering has been how beaten up both the Rams and the 49ers are. But San Francisco does indeed have one all-pro returning, and that's Talanoa Hufanga. And I think that he comes at an important position. Consider this. The 49ers were the number 26 run defense per EPA per play last season. That was their primary defensive weakness. Much of the damage that came against their defense in terms of run defense came after Talanoa Hufanga exited with his injury in November against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So a lot of people talk about coverage from the safety position, and I get it. That's really important. Two safeties were trying to cover Justin Jefferson in what I thought was a schematic error from Nick Sorensen and company last week against the Minnesota Vikings. So you've got to patch that up. But the run fits and the run defense and a lot of that's going to come from the safety position, from instinctive play at the safety position. That is just as important defensively, maybe even more important for the sustainability of a defense, because the 49ers didn't have a sustainable defense last season when they were struggling against the run. It was most egregious in the NFC Championship game against the Lions, where they were just getting gashed in the first half. They found their footing. The offense definitely found its footing. San Francisco used momentum and used a takeaway and a couple Detroit turnover on downs to turn that game around. But the way that thing was going in the first half was way too evocative of the way that the 49ers ranked in run defense down the stretch of the 2023 season. So Talanoa Hufanga returning is a big deal. This is an instinctive player. He plays with contagious energy. I mean, hair on fire. Looks a little bit like Troy Polamalu with the haircut. I mean, people have made that comparison a lot before. Trains in the offseason typically with Troy Polamalu down in San Diego. This offseason was different, though. Wrote about that a little bit in this Talanoa Hufanga piece. He wanted to be near his team. He wanted to be near the 49ers over the course of this offseason. And that was because of the rehab. And that was because of his desire to make sure that he used the rehab to just completely delve into the tape and do things like watch practice with John Lynch from the center field position. Lynch, 15-year veteran in the NFL, Hall of Famer at the safety position. He likes to watch quite a few practices, not from the sideline, but he likes to watch it from about 40 yards behind the defensive formation so he can see things from a similar angle as he saw things during his Hall of Fame playing career. So Talanoa Hufanga would stand right next to John Lynch, and he'd be able to see if his eyes were seeing the same thing as John Lynch's eyes. I think if you're seeing the game in a similar fashion to John Lynch, you're on the right track. Talanoa would also head into Kyle Shanahan's office over the course of this offseason, and he would watch practice and watch whatever Shanahan was watching through the eyes of an offensive-minded coach. That obviously is Kyle Shanahan. So he would diagnose how the 49ers offense was trying to attack its defense so that he would have better knowledge of how opponents might attack the 49ers over the course of this season. So that's all been happening while Talanoa Hufanga has been out. He is now recovered from the knee injury. He's been on the scout team for the 49ers over the first 2 weeks of the season, so he's been able to guard George Kittle. He talked about Brandon Ayuk on those quick crossers. It's been very, very good work for Hufanga over 2 weeks, and now the 49ers are going to ask for good play from him on a snap count. We don't know how big that snap count's going to be, but he's going to be working alongside Jair Brown, and maybe we'll see Malik Mustafa and George Odom also filter in. But key number one is to stop the run if you're Talanoa Hufanga. Help. I mean, and it's not just him. Everybody's always trying to point at one player, whether it be when they're analyzing Brock Purdy or they're analyzing Brandon Ayuk or they're analyzing the defense and what the 49ers can do. They're like, oh, well, they have to set this edge better. You've got to play together better as a unit. But I think Talanoa Hufanga can have an outsized impact on the other 10 guys on the field because of how contagiously energetic he is. So his film study, he thinks he can be better than ever before. He called his all-pro season a mediocre campaign. Put that in quotes right there because I'm skeptical of that. It was an all-pro campaign that was really good, but he says that he thinks he can be even better. And the 49ers will need his cerebral play to avoid breakdowns on the back end, but they also will need Talanoa Hufanga's ability to just bring energy. Bring energy against the run, get an extra step out of the guys even in front of him. I think that's something that we did see from Talanoa in 2022 when he was the All-Pro and the 49ers finished with that number one defense. And that's something that they're going to count on again from him starting tomorrow. Now, the Rams, this is an interesting team because they are so beaten up defensively. I mean, this is serious for the Rams. And the graphic that I've been showing all week has been the one that shows how bad their pass protection is. Well, combine poor pass protection with this for the Rams. This is the early down pass rate. Look where the Rams are on this chart. They're number one. They pass more on first downs, on early downs, than anybody in the NFL. This is going to create pass rushing opportunities for the 49ers. I know that Nick Bosa is listed on the injury report this week with the rib. I think he's going to play despite being listed there. But if he does, we got to watch Nick Bosa's effectiveness. He had the 2 sacks last week. We have to watch Leonard Floyd work against his old team. Then we have to watch the 49ers interior against the beleaguered Rams interior. The LA interior is starting a rookie at center in Bo Limmer. They're starting Logan Bruss, his first career start. He was a 2022 Rams draft pick at one of the guard positions. They've got 3 offensive linemen, including 2 perennial interior guys in Steve Avila and Jonah Jackson on injured reserve. And then Joe Noteboom has been playing some tackle for this team in the past, but has also played some guard for the Rams. He's also on IR. The Rams have the worst pass blocking grade in the league by a lot. It's like 29.4 on the PFF scale through 2 games. Just brutally bad so far for the Rams. Way worse than anybody else in the league. If you've been watching my videos throughout the rest of this week, that's been my favorite graphic that I've been sharing on the screen over and over and over again. So obviously a chance for the 49ers pass rush to get after it, especially given the fact that LA has been throwing so much, even behind this line. Now, maybe they move to more of a run game because of the struggles they've seen so far. It's obviously all accumulated in a 0-2 record for the Rams. And if they do that, then Kyren Williams, the former Notre Dame back, second-year guy for the Rams, that's who the 49ers have to stop. San Francisco cannot rest on its laurels just because LA has struggled so mightily through the first two games. The 49ers defense, I think, was downright bad against the Minnesota Vikings. It was a bunch of bad defense and then a couple Hall of Fame plays from Fred Warner, who became the first player on record since 2020. So, and it could have been way further back than 2020. This is just from the 49ers analytics department. But Warner had a forced fumble. He had an interception. He had a sack. He had a tackle for loss. And he also finished the game with no missed tackles, became the first NFL linebacker since at least 2020 to do all of that in one game. And if Fred wouldn't have notched the red zone interception of Sam Darnold, and if he wouldn't have ripped the ball out from Aaron Jones late in the game in the fourth quarter, right there on the goal line, that game would have gotten out of hand and the 49ers defensive performance would have looked a lot worse on the scoreboard than it ended up looking. But I think if you look at the stats under the hood, they actually were favorable to the 49ers defense. Would they give up 23 points or so? 24? Right in the mid-20s, they were decently favorable to the defense, despite the fact they gave up 7 of 12 third downs, including 6 very long conversions, despite the fact they gave up 6.8 yards per carry, way too evocative of the number 26 run defense that the 49ers fielded last year. It just was not a good performance from San Francisco's defense against Minnesota's offense. So entering this game against the Rams, despite the fact that LA is down all those linemen, despite the fact that LA's pass blocking scores are so bad, despite the fact that both top wideouts for Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are unavailable for this game, the 49ers need to have their heads on straight, because this is a defense that did not play well for San Francisco last week. Now, we go to the other side of the football. Brock Purdy is also going to be dealing with a shorthanded unit. No Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle, who's been formerly ruled out. Braden Willis has been called up from the practice squad, so at tight end, you're going to see Eric Saubert, Jake Tonjes, and Braden Willis. They also called up Sam Alkawanu, the defensive end from the practice squad, his second call-up for the 49ers, I think just in case Nick Bosa's rib is bothering him. But Brock Purdy is going to be working with a shorthanded unit. No Kittle, no Samuel. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is on injured reserve. That being said, he's gotten the job done so far in his career against the NFC West. Purdy is 8-0. Against divisional opponents since 2022, since entering the league that year. 16 touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, a passer rating of over 124, and only 2 interceptions. The 49ers have averaged 34 points per game in Purdy's 8 starts against the NFC West. This is, I think, a remarkable opportunity for Brock Purdy in the court of public opinion. Do we really care about the court of public opinion? I don't. I don't think that Purdy does, but I think a lot of my viewers do. So, you know, we can talk about it. We can talk about the fact that the goalposts have consistently moved when it comes to evaluating Brock Purdy, especially from a national level. I know most of the people who evaluate Brock Purdy the loudest have no idea what they're talking about, and it's a big megaphone. That's like they're carrying around a big megaphone to broadcast that they don't know the quarterback position, and they don't know how to properly evaluate what quarterbacks have to do. That being said, despite the fact that there's a lot of ignorance surrounding Brock Purdy, it's all very noticeable noise, I think, in the discourse surrounding the 49ers. And Brock Purdy doesn't get the credit that he deserves for being the number one QBR guy since 2022, for being on top of every single metric. I mean, objectively speaking, when we watch the tape and we look at the numbers, Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback. But detractors will say, even though they're incorrect, that he is dependent on the cast around him, as if that's not the case for every single quarterback in the history of the game. But the truth of the matter is that the quarterback position is the most important in football, and that Brock Purdy is the central engine of the 49ers offense, whether people like it or not. It just takes a basic understanding of football to acknowledge that and not create drama about that. This game against the Rams will feature Brock Purdy operating without Christian McCaffrey, without Deebo Samuel, and without George Kittle. He'll still be working behind an offensive line that has not pass protected particularly well this year, and they weren't pass protecting particularly well in 2023. So the 49ers are going to be running an offense that substitutes it. They want to run the same scheme. They want to run the same system, but they want to slide guys around to fill in for the guys who are out. So Juwan Jennings, for example, is going to be in the Z receiver role. He's normally in the F role. He's normally the 49ers' third wide receiver running out of the slot. He's going to take over for Deebo Samuel in that number two Z receiver role. Brandon Ayuk is going to stay in the X. My question is, who's going to be in the F? Who's going to play that slot position? You know, Chris Conley is a trusted X for the 49ers as far as a backup to Brandon Ayuk. But is he the best option for the F role? Or is Jacob Cowing, the rookie speedster, who was the fastest prospect out of the wide receiver class in the first 5 yards, is Jacob Cowing going to get some time running some gadget plays, running some plays out of the slot for the 49ers? Is Ronnie Bell going to get some time? Congratulations to him and the Michigan Wolverines. I know he's not part of that team anymore, but that was a nice win that they just registered over the hometown team. I'm in LA right now, over the USC Trojans a little bit earlier today. So however the 49ers line this up, they're going to try to continue churning the system that was already in place, despite the fact that they don't have many of these star players in there. Eric Saubert is going to have to fill in for George Kittle. Jordan Mason in place of Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Shanahan talking about Isaac Garendo getting some more carries for the 49ers potentially in this game. And Brock Purdy is going to have to be the engine of all of this. And if he puts up another solid game, and I thought that he played solid football against Minnesota. He played really well against the New York Jets in week one. He puts up another solid game and the 49ers win. Not much more that you could say to detract from Brock Purdy. Not like there's reasonable things to say to detract from Brock Purdy right now, but I am relaying what people are saying. I'm sure a lot of you are very aware of it. And I just look at this as an opportunity for him to go out and do his thing, be the engine of the offense that he has been over the course of the past 2 years. And this time do it with Juwan Jennings at the Z receiver position, maybe Jacob Cowing at the F position, Jordan Mason playing in the backfield. I mean, I think it's an opportunity for Brock Purdy to truly impress some of the naysayers. Now, when we talk about an interchangeable offense for the 49ers, the one thing you have to be careful of is that even though you do theoretically have the ability to plug guys into different spots to make the offense keep clicking business as usual, you do have superstars on this team with singular skill sets. For example, Deebo Samuel at the Z receiver position, he could line up in the backfield and he could dominate carrying the ball as a running back in a way that no other receiver in the league can. So you can't get too robotic with this if you're the 49ers. You can't just say, okay, Juwan, you're now the Z receiver. We're going to line you up in the backfield and we're going to give you a handoff. That's what the 49ers did coming out at halftime in the divisional playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. Remember, they tried to hand it off to Juwan Jennings and it looked really ugly. And it's because they were methodically, robotically going through motions with Deebo Samuel out, and they absolutely can't afford to have that happen moving forward. NFL games end up close too often to be burning plays on stuff like that. The 49ers, when they were playing really well down the stretch last year, into the playoffs, that maybe they had a bit of a margin for error. Obviously, they had a lot of a margin for error against the Lions. They spotted them a 17-point lead, and they came back and they won. They came back against the Green Bay Packers in that divisional playoff game. But you don't want to get in the habit of giving opponents unnecessary advantages, and I think the 49ers run the risk of doing that if they're not properly deploying their weapons, who are all going to be in different spots. So anyway, that's the gist of the offensive and defensive matchup, minus one thing that I have to share with you right now. And that's no Aaron Donald for the Rams. That's a huge deal. The 49ers had used to obsess over game planning against the Rams on number 99. It's like, how do we neutralize Aaron Donald? Neutralize Aaron Donald. Neutralize Aaron Donald. That's what life was all about for the 49ers, was trying to take out number 99. All of a sudden, he's not in there. They believe, San Francisco does, that LA's got some talented rushers up front. In fact, Kyle Shanahan thinks that's the best part of this Rams defense. That's not to say that this Rams defense is particularly good, but they've got some young players. Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He's going to be at one of the defensive end positions. Bobby Brown is the nose tackle. Kobe Turner wears number 91. He plays in the similar position as Aaron Donald did before. And then they've got the outside linebacker, Byron Young, who can get after the quarterback, the product out of Tennessee. This is a Fangio, a Vic Fangio-style 3-4 defense that has some talent that could get after the quarterback up front, even though big Aaron Donald is no longer there. So Purdy has to account for that. The 49ers front has to account for that. I don't think they were going to have to use a silent count. They're going to have a home field advantage at SoFi Stadium. And Purdy has this track record against the NFC West. One of the reasons he does is because I don't think the NFC West has had good linebacker coverage. And I don't think the Rams linebackers are good this year. I mean, they added, and Jared Verse is another one of the outside linebackers who will be rushing the passer. They've got two Florida State guys in Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, but they have Christian Roseboom. They have Troy Reader at that linebacker position, but they've lost Ernest Jones IV. They traded him away. The 49ers seem to constantly have an advantage over the Rams trying to exploit the second level. Now, will some of that be neutralized with no Christian McCaffrey and no George Kittle? Of course. And I think that's a little bit of the concern for the 49ers. But Jordan Mason can catch the football, too. And they're going to hope that Eric Saubert can catch the football, too. They're going to hope that Brandon Ayuk can establish the advantage at X that he showed all of last season that helped open up the rest of the 49ers offense. I don't think that's been there yet from Brandon Ayuk. But we also said he's going to have some time to play into shape. So we can give the 49ers the opportunity and give Brandon Ayuk the opportunity to do that. Anyway, time to move on to our 49ers-Rams prediction. If you have a prediction, you can go ahead and toss it into the comment section. If you're on YouTube right now, then the comment section is right there for you. If you're watching on X or Twitter, then you could respond to the tweet, of course, with your prediction. You could do that. I'll take a look at it in a little bit. Or you can go to YouTube, David Lombardi on YouTube, and you could join there and we could take a look at your prediction through those means. If you're listening on the podcast, well, you're going to have to get onto a video platform at some point. But 49ers Rams prediction, for me, I think it's not going to be a blowout, but I do think it's going to be a strong win for San Francisco, 27-17. Now, those of you who have already had a chance to check out the standard, good for you. But if you haven't had a chance to check out the standard, this was our prediction piece from yesterday. Tim Kawakami and I delivered our first one. He thinks it's going to be a bigger margin than I do. I think asking 30 is tough when you're shorthanded the way the 49ers are. I think Brock Purdy is good enough to put this team well into the 20s. That's where my prediction comes from. They've been kicking quite a few field goals. Jake Moody's been excellent so far this year, so I think 27 reflects that. I think they'll control the game, and 27-17 reflects kind of a game where the offense is strong-arming the opposing defense. I think they can do that to the Rams. They've done that to the Rams in the past. And I think their defense is not in position to give up more than 20. In this game, just simply put, the pass protection has been atrocious for the Rams. They're missing their top two targets, which makes things even worse. The 49ers have a lot of proud, talented players on the defensive side of the ball. Are they fully clicking yet? Absolutely not. Can they get closer to that in this game against the Rams? Yes. And I think they hold the Rams under 20. So 27-17 is my prediction. Again, I've started at the standard. This game here in LA is going to be my first one covering for the standard. So you can go ahead and check out the link in the description where we've got this with the predictions and Brock Purdy. And then we've got this article on Talanoa Hufanga. We promise this is going to be the best 49ers coverage around. So go ahead and check that out in the description. Mike was good enough to put the link there. Meanwhile, we'll continue our $19 smoothie project. Those of you just joining, this is what was going on earlier. Erwan Market. Tell me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. If I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, it's probably a good sign because I don't frequent this place all too often, but because I mean, the bank account would be dry. It's more expensive than Whole Foods, but you've got the prosciutto sandwich. It was awesome. And then we kept on going back for the smash burger. We got two of those. And then these smoothies, I think some of these smoothies had like meat in them. They didn't taste like it, but I mean, give me more protein and we'll be fine. Look at the people taking the selfie in the middle of the road. I mean, this is so LA that it hurts. This is also so LA that it hurts. Beverly Hills. But it was a great day here, and it's going to be a great evening. I'm going to go out to dinner, probably Hollywood, and then it's going to be off to SoFi Stadium tomorrow, which is one of the nicest, if not the nicest, buildings in the NFL. SoFi from the Getty Center. All on the west side of LA. And then straight out of town. You could just leave LAX right after. But $19 smoothies, that's something that you could definitely find in LA alongside decent views, not bad, over the whole west side and Brentwood there from the Getty Center. It's the second biggest city in the U.S. I will say this about LA. There's a lot to do. And there are a lot of smoothies to drink. And the climate is perfect for them. So that's the 49ers Rams prediction. Why don't you toss your prediction into the comment section? Why don't I open up a 49ers Q&A? Ready for your questions. Do I know if Bosa is playing or not? Well, I don't know for sure. I think he's technically listed as questionable, but I'll tell you that I am strongly optimistic that Nick Bosa will play. Now, he's got the rib, and Sam Okwuonu got called up from the practice squad. He's a defensive end, Samo, as we call him. So 49ers are a little bit fortified there, but I would fully expect Nick Bosa to play after he practiced on Friday. John thinks the 49ers are going to win this one 24-3. Thinks a defensive win. That'd be a real suffocation of the Rams. What's the second worst airport? Well, we can bring back the airport review series. LAX has never scored well. Yeah, I think San Diego's airport's even worse than LA's because I've only dealt with the Southwest terminal at San Diego's. Next time I fly down there, I'm going to have to deal with, I think it's Terminal 1 is, I believe, 2 Southwest, right? I think 1 is everybody else. I'm going to have to not fly Southwest. I made my first airport review video was in San Diego because I was just lamenting how this place looked like it hadn't changed since they built it in 1966. I mean, it was really, really bad. And then they tried to stuff the counter in there, the burger place that used to be good. They started out here in Santa Monica, but it's like this really cheap version of the counter that isn't good at all. You know, it's not what you'd see on the outside. When you're going to the counter in Santa Monica, there used to be one on California Avenue in Palo Alto. I don't think it's there anymore, but I was not happy with San Diego's airport. So we might have to rank them behind LAX. Dinner confirmed at 7:30. Not letting you guys know where I'm going, but I have to text my friend. All right, I didn't actually put that on the chat. Did I? No, I didn't. Good. How many touches do I think that Isaac Garendo will get? Isaac Garendo, probably 5. I think they're going to try to integrate him into the offense a little bit more. Remember, he was a receiver in college, coming out of high school before he transitioned over to running back, which I think gives him a leg up in being able to be versatile enough to handle the 49ers offense. You do have to know how to operate the outside zone. And the only carry that we saw out of Isaac Garendo last week was didn't feature great vision. And I'm not the kind of person to overreact to one carry. So I'm just going to sit back and wait and see how Isaac Grendo does as he develops more of a feel for the NFL level. But I will say that he only started one game in college, despite the fact that he's got some of the most impressive physical measurements that we've ever seen at the running back position. I mean, 4'3", 40, 220 pounds. That's an extremely rare combination. Saquon Barkley-esque. So we know that he has all these physical gifts. He's got the size, he's got the speed, but we also know that he hadn't been starting games in his football career ever since he switched over to running back. Now, he got hurt a lot in college, was dealing with some hamstring injuries there. It's something he dealt with early in training camp this year. But still, I think all the data suggests, especially when you watch Grendo run, he's going to have to learn how to find the hole. He's going to have to learn how to be patient in the outside zone. It's not just grab the football and burst through the hole in the outside zone. You have to press the edge. You have to be one with your offensive line, with your blockers. And that patience in the heat of battle is not often easy. So that's something that's going to have to develop. You know who it developed for was Raheem Mostert. Mostert didn't become a star until significantly far into his career. Isaac Grendo wears the same number 31 that Mostert used to wear for the 49ers. And Bobby Turner, their running backs coach, will say that he's just an eyelash slower than Raheem Mostert. But similar type of runner. I mean, a real, real gasher with his legs. He can put one foot down, he can cut, and he can move. He can really burst forward. So there's a lot of potential with Isaac Grendo. Do I think the 49ers go run heavy? They only go run heavy if the Rams drop back into, you know, a cover two shell and dare them to run. The 49ers are going to run their system, and that is dependent on what the defense is giving them. So you never run into ultra crowded boxes that you can't put a hat on a hat in, that you can't beat with the run game. You pass to loosen those boxes up. And if you got loose boxes and loose defenses, you run to bring the defense and the safeties closer to the line of scrimmage. It's simple. This 49ers offense is not going to let itself be hamstrung by these injuries. They're going to run what they normally do with guys filling in different spots. Be sure, by the way, check out the standard. Another look at it. This is the article that Tim and I co-wrote yesterday as a prediction piece. And then this is my first article for the Standard on Talanoa Hufanga. We can scroll down. We can check some of this out. Look, more danger signs for the Rams. There you go. This is what I was talking about earlier that I've shared in some other videos. Look where the Rams are in terms of pass protection. This is where everybody is. This is where the Rams are. Unbelievable. That pass protection has been absurdly bad over the course of the first 2 weeks of the season, and the 49ers are going to look to capitalize on that. Ian thinks that Purdy's going to run more in this game. He might. It all really depends on how the Rams are playing the 49ers. It really does. But do know that probably the strength of this Rams defense are the young pass rushers up front. I think there are vulnerabilities in the back seven. And then, you know, but we could say that all day. Okay, they can do this. They rank here. They rank there. But it depends on how they play the 49ers. Sometimes a team with an extremely bad run defense will completely overplay the run. So the run isn't really possible, even if you have a good run offense, because they're dedicating more to the run. So that opens up stuff against the pass. So a team could rank number one against the pass and number 32 against the run, but it could be a heavy pass game because that team is dedicating so much extra resources to the run defense. So you actually have to watch these games play out. They're never played out on just paper. Bo can't believe that the Rams traded Ernest Jones. And again, people saying Brandon Ayuk right here will 100% have a touchdown tomorrow. I think the 49ers are going to try to get Brandon Ayuk the football in this football game. But force feeding is never something that works within the larger picture of the offense. This is an offense that tries to distribute the football, that tries to create space on the field, that tries to create matchups. Ayuk is the X receiver, so he's counted on for some separation, and I think that he should be playing himself into better shape. So is there a higher chance of him scoring and producing in this game? Yes. Not sure if it's a guarantee for the 49ers, though. What is the vibe with Purdy? Is he showing he's ready for the challenge? I think he showed he was ready for the challenge last week. I think Brock Purdy did a lot of good stuff against the Minnesota Vikings and a really, really complex defensive system, especially for week two when you're not as a defense, as an offense, you're not really ready for some of the more exotic looks that you're getting because of the lack of preseason, the lack of training camp, the fact that Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams didn't go to camp at all. I mean, you're behind the eight ball early in the season as an offense, which is why you see, I mean, through 2 weeks, we saw 66 touchdown passes. Last year through 2 weeks, we saw 100 touchdown passes. Brock Purdy actually leads the league in passing yardage through 2 weeks, but the number one spot in pass yardage, he's got 550 yards, is way, way less than what it was last year. It was like 800 yards through 2 weeks. So my point is that it's been exceptional this year in how far ahead of the offense defenses are right now. And because of that, the fact that Purdy went 300 plus against Brian Flores' unit, that's one of the most complex in the league last year. They were running some high level stuff and amorphous fronts, disguised fronts. Harrison Smith, the safety, was in the box and he sprinted 20 yards downfield on the very first play. I mean, the fact that the 49ers were able to get what they did yardage-wise in the last game shows you, I think, that Brock Purdy was on top of a lot of what he was doing. But they weren't able to turn a 94-yard drive into points. That one got stopped at the goal line. I thought that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's talking a lot about how good Brandon Ayuk was away from the football, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. If your ex-wide receiver is not at least a semi-efficient part of the passing offense production-wise, it's going to be really hard to draw attention away from other guys, especially if Christian McCaffrey isn't doing that job. The 49ers' protections were definitely overwhelmed and confused at many points of last week. And yet Purdy kept on trucking along. He kept on producing in that football game. You need all 11 to get things done. I mentioned some of the separation numbers early in the week. They weren't great for the 49ers. They need to be better. They obviously need to be better on third down. So especially on third down, they need to make sure guys get open, guys stay open, and the blocking is there so Purdy can hit the open guys. And then Purdy himself probably has to be a little bit better too. I mean, all of these things really work in conjunction, but I don't think that Purdy was bad last week. I even think that he probably was good last week. He was excellent through about a half plus of the football game. And then, of course, the two turnover plays hurt San Francisco in the second half, but he also made some off-script plays that completely kept them in the game, just like Fred Warner's two takeaways kept San Francisco in the game. '96 Collector says, tomorrow will remind everyone of Jennings' importance to the offense. So Juwan's going to be playing at the Z tomorrow. Right? Remember that. Juwan is going to be at the Z receiver position, which is Debo's normal spot. So you've got Ayuk at the X. Conley was playing the X through training camp. You've got Debo typically at the Z, but it's going to be Juwan Jennings at the Z. Juwan's normally at the F. He's moving from the F to the Z. Now the question is, who plays at the Z? We heard from Kyle Shanahan and from John Lynch saying that Jacob Cowing is probably going to see his first career offensive action in this game. We heard from the 49ers when Ronnie Bell made this initial roster that he's trusted enough to give the 49ers some snaps, especially when they need them here in times when they're a little more thinned out offensively. I think that Chris Conley is competent and cerebral enough to also play in the slot for the 49ers, but I think he's typically very prototypically an X receiver to fill in for Brandon Ayuk. And if Brandon Ayuk is still only 80-85% playing his way into shape, Conley's got to be there to fill in at that X spot for Ayuk, who might not be able to take all the snaps. So the number three receiver spot is the most fascinating to me on the field tomorrow for the 49ers, just because I don't know exactly how they're going to play things now that they are down Deebo Samuel and Jennings is moving up a spot. Obviously down Ricky Pearsall as well. So no Pearsall, no Samuel, no McCaffrey. So you're looking at Mason in the backfield, maybe some Garendo to help things out for the 49ers, Patrick Taylor Jr. to give him a higher floor. And then tight end, fascinating as hell. Saubert, Tonjes, Braden Willis. You know, I think this is worth opening up the 90-man roster, don't you think? I think that we need to take a quick little inventory before this game starts. Anyway, you guys saw the standard up there. I have started with the San Francisco Standard, so everybody make sure you go into the description, check out the first article. Let me know what you think. Drop your predictions into the description as well. All right, I've got this ready for you. Let's get this up on the screen. So we can go through this at the injured positions. At running back, McCaffrey's not even on this depth chart because he's on IR. So Mason, I say that Garendo is behind him, but Garendo, we don't have the sample on Garendo to know exactly what to expect just yet. But running with anticipation, running with vision is the key for him. I mean, he's a true speedster. He's a special athlete, 4'3 at 220 pounds. Kyle Juszczyk has been more involved in the pass offense. I might expect that to continue for the 49ers. Moving on to the receiver position, this is what I'm talking about at receiver. You've got 1, 2, and 3, Ayuk, Samuel, Jennings. Slide Jennings up into Samuel's role, and then who takes Jennings' role? I think Conley is the direct backup for Ayuk, and then it's either Cowing or Bell sliding into the Jennings role. They ended up not calling up Trent Taylor. They still believe in Cowing as the punt returner. The leash was going to be longer than just one muffed punt to remove him totally from that position, especially with injuries elsewhere. So many people asking me about Terrace Marshall Jr. He's still on the practice squad. He will not play this week. Tight end, no Kittle. So Saubert slides into the number one role. Jake Tonjes made the roster behind him. I think Cal is playing Florida State right now. May have to tune into that game here in a second. And then you've got Braden Willis called up from the practice squad to be the third tight end, to be at that spot that Jake Tonjes is normally in. Willis obviously has 53-man roster experience from last year. Up front, you're generally healthy, ready to go if you're the 49ers. They've got to be more cohesive, better than last week. Of course, Bosa's got a little bit of the rib issue, so we're going to go ahead and highlight his name, but I think he will play. In case he can't, they've called up Sam Okwuonu. Right here, Okwuonu is the practice squad defensive end for the 49ers. Then we move down to the linebacker position, generally healthy for the 49ers. Obviously, Dre Greenlaw still on PUP. Cornerback, I've got Charvarius Ward shaded there in the reddish color because he's questionable, but I would expect him to play. Talanoa is going to be back out on that field, so it's Talanoa and Jair Brown at the safety position, and that just happens to be what I was writing about on the Standard. As you can see here, go ahead and check that out. You can now see all my writing on the San Francisco Standard. Nice, clean format. Tim and I wrote this on Purdy, and then I wrote this on Hufanga. Then you could always come back for more on the 49ers depth chart. All right. 45 minutes in, I think it's a good show. Maybe one more question. Garendo's not going to be a tight end, guys. Come on, let's be serious here. Everybody always tries to like toss around these different positions. I get it. The 49ers try to be amorphous offensively, but tight ends have to move defensive linemen in the run game. You're not going to put a 220-pound running back who runs a 4-3 at tight end. Come on now. When I go to games, where do I sit? I sit in the press box. Who are the tight ends tomorrow? I just went over it. Saubert, Tonjes, Braden Willis. Yeah, how about Hargrave at quarterback while we're at it? If Hargrave's not producing a defensive tackle, you can keep him at quarterback. Anyway, one more time. I just want to show the $19 smoothie one more time before we sign off. This was fun today. It really was. But I need more food and I need more rest at this point. Where is that smoothie? I got to fast forward. There it is. That finishes the video. That set the weekend off on the right note. We'll talk to you guys soon. Everybody, drop your predictions for 49ers-Rams into the comments section. You can check out the new work on the Standard. We'll probably talk to you next from SoFi and the stadium tour tomorrow morning. Take care.